Good morning.
Good morning.
Psalm 23, please. And let me say to you all, good to see you. We're at verse 2 of Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, you're going to have to lie down this morning. That's what the psalmist is talking about. Lying down in green pastures. Have you ever gone out on a nice sunny day and lying down on the grass? Well, that's the picture here. Only for a sheep, it would be much nicer than it would be for you. It's nice for you, but even nicer for a sheep, because the green grass is its food. That's all it eats. That's all it eats. So that everything that it desires is there, and it's lying down in the middle of it. That's the picture then that's given us here in these words. Now, David is setting out in verse 2 to prove that what he said in verse 1 was correct. What he said in verse 1 was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then to show that what he had just said was true, he said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's why I don't want," he says, "because God has ordered things for me so that I am surrounded by everything I need. I'm surrounded by them to a great degree." So we're going to look at that this morning. And there's two things I want you to look at in the verse 2. First of all, there's the provision that the Lord gives, and it's of the very best. The Lord doesn't give you that which is second hand, if I might put it like that. That which is cheap and shoddy. But the Lord provides that which is the very best. And that's said here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Actually, if you were to look at Mommy's Bible or Daddy's Bible at home, the chances are you will see a little line in the margin. And it tells us that the phrase green pastures means pastures of tender grass. Tender grass. So, David says, "The Lord makes me to lie down," not an old rough grass that has been growing for a long time and has been bleached by the sun and, you can hardly eat it. No, no. He's making me to lie down in fresh, tender grass. Don't ever forget that what the Lord has provided for us, boys and girls, is of the highest quality. You cannot get better than what God provides. The world can't provide that which God provides. The devil can't provide that which God provides. The devil will tell you, and the world will tell you, "Oh, Christian, we offer you a far, far better life than God does." That's what they'll say. But they can't offer better than God. They can't. God, out of the riches of his bounty, has set forth for us the very, very best. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I'm going to point out a couple of things under that heading, that what the Lord gives us is the very best. First and foremost, the benefits the Christian enjoys are of the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Christian life, with all its bounties, with all its blessings, are not the result of what we decide for ourselves. It's God that leads us. Now, get the picture of the sheep in your mind. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, sheep depend on the shepherd leading them to good grass. Over in the field across the road, there's sheep at the moment. They'll soon be moved, I think, because they have nearly all the grass eaten. But they didn't come waltzing down the road one morning saying, here's the field we're going to. No. They arrived in a big trailer, and their owner opened the gate and directed them in. It was he who brought them to the field. They didn't pick it. They didn't find their own way there. And that's the way it is with the Christian. The Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And boys and girls, the life of the Christian is the very best life that can be lived on this earth. You might not understand that, and sometimes you might be tempted to think that there's a far better life out there for you if you were to turn your back on God and His Word and follow the world. You'd be very wrong, of course. No, what the Christian enjoys is the very best. And you know what? It's only a foretaste. A foretaste of what is to come. Do you know what a foretaste is? So if your mum's cooking something at the stove, just stirring and cooking away, sometimes you will see her dipping in a spoon and testing it. Isn't that right? Yes, seen her do it. Well, that's foretasting. That's having a taste of it before it's completely finished, just to make sure it's just right. Not overdone, or it's not underdone, it's just reaching perfection. Well, when I say that the good life we enjoy here, the tender grass that God provides for us, it's a foretaste of heaven. A foretaste of heaven. The benefits and the blessings that the Christian enjoys here is only a foreshadowing of what is to come. Heaven is just the fullness of God's kindness and love and provision for us. And so, as the Christian goes along in life here and recognizes the goodness and the kindness of God, they can say, and yes, this is just a little taste on a spoon of what is to come. Think on that, boys and girls. Think on that. The benefits the Christian enjoys here, they're of the Lord. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. The benefits, as I've said, are of the highest quality. I pointed this out, but of course we need to hear it a second time and a third time before it finally registers. The green pastures, it means tender grass. Tender grass. If you look out in the field over there and see the sheep, there's big mammy sheep munching away. And I've watched them, you know, and they don't stop. They seem to munch all the time, all day long. Do you know something? There's little baby sheep, the lamb, munching away. Same grass, because it's fresh and tender out there. It's the first growth of the year, and the littlest lamb can eat that grass. It's not tough. It's tender. Easily bitten off and chewed and swallowed and digested. Even for a tiny lamb. Did you see that book? Even for the tiniest little boy or girl, there is food there for you. Food there for you that you can chew on and digest and enjoy. Sometimes I say to you, or ask you questions as I'm speaking, not really looking for a reply, and I pose a question. Do you know the Lord? And I see heads nodding, which means you have had a nibble at God's Word, and you've tasted something of its benefits, and you have taken in the sweet truth that is there. You've enjoyed the tender grass, young and old as you may be. Boys and girls, it's the finest quality that God provides for us. After all, look at how much it cost. It cost the blood of the Lord Jesus. It cost His suffering. It cost Him everything to pay for us and to buy for us the tender grass of God's kindness and love. Because we deserved judgment. That's what we should have been receiving. That's what we should have been feeding on. The wrath of God. But the Lord Jesus died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, that we might enjoy the tenderest of grass. Then again, it says we are made to lie down in such comforts. Not just stand. And again, I refer to the sheep across the field. Because you don't see them always on their feet. Oh, they're on their feet a lot. But they're not always on their feet. And then you look out and you see them lying down. And boys and girls, God causes us to lie down comfortably amidst the riches of his goodness. I'm surrounded by God's kindness. I can lie back on it like a great pillow and enjoy God's mercy. That's the kindness of God, boys and girls. That's the kindness of God. He maketh us to lie down. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 34, we're told something similar to what David is saying here. Ezekiel 34 and the verse 14. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. You know, the fold is the place where the sheep are brought in at night, placed in care and protection. There shall they lie in a good fold. Ezekiel 34, verse 14. And in a fat pasture. That means it's full of goodness. A fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. You see, right throughout the Bible you find this truth set forth. God not only feeds us well, but he causes us to lie down. We're permanently enjoying the pasture. The shepherd that brought those sheep over to that field, he didn't chase them in, stand about for 10 minutes, and then say, right, that's enough, out you go. No. He put them in, and they shut the gate, and he says, now you can stay there for a good while. And they've been there for weeks, to a far greater degree, boys and girls. The Lord brings us into green pastures, and he says, you stay there. You lie down and enjoy my goodness and my mercy. Then, remember what I've told you 100 times, maybe more? Notice every word in your Bible. I can go a little further today and say, notice every letter. What does it say? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Is that what it says? No, it says S at the end of it, which means More than one. Oh, boys and girls, there's a plenteous supply of God's kindness. When you have enjoyed the blessing of the Lord, believe me, there's another one coming along. There's more beside that which you enjoy at this moment. In the next hour, God has more for you. And tomorrow we have more yet again. And next week, more. Green pastures. Over there in the field, those sheep will have all the grass eaten soon, and they'll have to be moved to another field somewhere. Well, get the picture. God provides us always with fresh supplies of his goodness, his kindness, and his mercy. No matter what circumstances may come upon us, and maybe difficult times may come round the corner, God has green pastures to which he can move us. I'm thinking of the two widows that we often read about in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 17, the verses 13 and 16. That's the widow of Sarepta that Elijah went to. And that widow was down to a handful of corn in the bottom of a barrel and a little taste of oil that you could cook that last handful with and have our last meal with her son, and that was it. There was no more. But God had provided green pastures for her, because when Elijah came, God caused that at the bottom of the barrel never to disappear, so that no matter how much you took out the next morning, there was still that amount in it. That's what God can do, boys and girls. That's what God can do. I mentioned a few days ago about the woman whose son was going to be taken away in order to serve someone that she owed money to, and so by his work he would repay that debt. And she came to Elisha, the prophet who followed Elijah, and she complained, I'm going to lose my son. And you remember what Elisha did about the oil? And as long as she had an empty pot, that pot of oil she had kept pouring out. That's what God does. There's an everlasting, undiminished supply of goodness and mercy with God, boys and girls. Oh, ever remember that. He causeth me to lie down in green pasture. When Israel was in Egypt, in the midst of all the judgments that were falling on Egypt, they were living in a part of Egypt called Goshen. And when all the other places were plagued, no plagues came to Goshen. No flies came to Goshen. God was providing them with green pasture, peace, comfort, in the midst of all the troubles. Second thing I want you to notice, and we'll be quick now, we've noticed that the provision of the Lord is the very best, green pasture. Now notice that not only is there the green pastures, but there's the still waters, waters of quietness. Because you see, as well as the green pastures, God provides for his people peace and refreshment. Peace and refreshment. Christians need ever to remember this, you know. We can get fretful and we can say, oh, I'm in trouble now. How am I going to get through this? What's going to happen to me? Just remember what God says. I not only provide you with green, tender grass, but you will lie down and walk beside waters of quietness. You need to think about this, boys and girls. God's word always needs a little thought in order to break up what is there so that we can enjoy everything that God is saying. Why does God describe for us what he will provide for us by way of quietness and refreshment by picturing it as us walking beside still water? There must be a reason for that. Why does he pick that picture in order to illustrate what it is he has for us? Well, I don't know about you, but there are very few in this world who do not like the sound of a river. There's something calming, comforting about the sound of a river. Now, I know when you get down round a river, you're so busy throwing stones into it that you don't listen to it. But if you ever get back to near a river again, just for a moment or two, sit down and listen. The river makes music. Oh, yes, it does. It's the most precious, sweet, refreshing, calming sound as it makes its way over the rocks and the stones and it burbles away. Lovely. And most people, that's why you will find in the country, people making their way when they're looking a bit of a break, they make their way to a river. They might sail on a wee boat on it or sit just beside it and fish, but they like what the river provides. And God provides us with a river at which we can sit and walk and enjoy. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the voice of the Lord is like the sound of waters. Sound of waters. In Ezekiel chapter 43 again, we read, his voice as the sound of many waters. Revelation chapter 1, the verse 15 is the same. John heard the Lord when he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he says, his voice was like the sound of many waters. Now, why should the Lord's voice be like the sound of many waters? It's like I said again, the wee river. If you go and listen to it, it's very peaceful and pleasant and calming. You ask Mommy or ask Daddy to take you down to the river and not throw you in. No, no, we don't want that. But have you stop and listen to the music of the river and then think, that's just like the voice of the Lord. Oh, how precious and sweet is the voice of the Lord conveying to us calm and peace. You know, there's something about the sound of a river. It's not just one sound, just a rushing noise. No, if you listen to a river, it's a whole mixture of sounds. As the water breaks out over stones and whatnot, there are different sounds. It's like an orchestra. Do you know what an orchestra is? Oh, it's a big band. You know what an orchestra is? There's a piano, there's a violin, and there's a cello, and there's a trumpet, and there's dozens more instruments, all playing together in harmony, producing one beautiful sound. But there's all sorts of instruments providing that unified sound. Well, that's what the river is. It's like an orchestra. There are all sorts of sounds coming from it, but they all blend together to provide the sweetest of music, just like the voice of the Lord. This book, this Bible, it records the voice of the Lord, the words of the Lord. And there are all sorts of words there, all sorts of things said to us in the Bible. All sorts of things. You'll find the Lord speaking in anger in the Bible, speaking in love in the Bible, speaking in tenderness in the Bible, speaking instructively, teaching in the Bible. But it all blends together in the message of kindness and love and goodness. Psalm 85 and the verse 8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. Overall, that's the message of the Bible to those who believe the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of peace. The message of the Bible to those who reject the gospel, turn their back on God, is not of peace, but of judgment. What does it say to you? Does God speak to you in terms of peace because you've trusted the Lord Jesus? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But if you're not justified by faith, that is, if you haven't put your faith in the Lord Jesus and have been cleansed in his precious blood and are saved, God doesn't speak peace to you, but he condemns what you're doing. Oh, God leads his people beside the waters of quietness and stillness. Well, I'll make one more point here. A river provides more than just a pleasant sound, many pleasant sounds. A river provides water for refreshment. Do you know how long you would live if you didn't take a drink? Do you know how long you'd live? What day is the day? Thursday? You'd live today, you'd live tomorrow, you'd live on Saturday and you'd die on Sunday. That's how long you can live without water. 3 days. 3 days. Our body needs water. Now we take in water. Even when we're drinking a Coke, there's water in it. Or any form of drink. Cup of tea? Water. Cup of coffee? Water. And if we didn't have water, we would last no time at all. Boys and girls, there's a lesson there for you. We can't live without the water of life that God brings us to when he presents us with the gospel. We constantly need water. Constantly need it. Revelation chapter 22, the verse 1 says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's where the water of life comes from, the throne of God. And God needs to show it to you. Because if he doesn't, you'll never find it of yourself. Just as David is saying here, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The sheep would never find the water on its own. Needs a shepherd to lead him there. And you'd never find salvation if it wasn't for the Lord leading you there. None of us would. Oh, boys and girls, we're urged to drink of the water. That's what the gospel's all about. There's a lovely verse, first verse, in Isaiah chapter 55, and it's known to most of us, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God's supply, free. It's of the best quality. And if you're thirsty today, within your heart, not within your tummy, within your heart, if you're thirsting for the Lord's mercy, come to the Lord. And he give you the water of life. And he that drinketh of the water of life shall never perish, May the Lord bless you, boys and girls. Let's bow in prayer. O God, speak loudly, I pray, and clearly, and wondrously, and lovingly, and savingly to the boys and girls. Answer prayer today. Answer prayer today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.